On this episode of Balance and Manifest, Your Rise to Greatness, we talk to our good friend, John Sargent. John is an ISSA certified personal trainer with additional certificates in corrective exercise and nutrition. On this episode, we talk tips, tricks, guidelines, personal experiences that can help you alter your mindset and strategically plan the path to your health and fitness goals. Welcome to another episode of Balance and Manifest, Your Rise to Greatness, the podcast where our guests share their stories of overcoming hardship and fighting their way to success to help inspire and motivate others. I am your host, Sean.
And I'm Sav.
If you guys can do us a favor, wherever you listen to this podcast, go ahead and give us a follow, subscribe, whatever the platform asks for. If you could listen, share. If you could, please give us a rating. The ratings will help us grow in the charts, help get these stories and information out to more people. And as always, podcast is presented by Nine Realms Athletics. Follow Nine Realms Athletics on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. You can go to ninerealmsathletics.com. Use promo code MANIFEST to get a discount on your next order of all of our super cool stuff.
Fantastic.
So today, guys, we are doing a little bit different. We like to mix up and do our interviews, but we want to also bring you guys content that is informational and useful.
Yeah, totally.
So today we have a good friend of ours, family. He is the host of This Business Wrestling Podcast and personal trainer, Mr. John Sargent. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys? I'm super excited to be here.
Woo! I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's good to good to finally get you on.
I know. I even shaved, took a shower, got my nice clothes on. I'm excited.
We could totally see you looking good.
On point. So real quick, we'll do a quick rundown for people. Your history in fitness, credentials, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've been a personal trainer since 2014. I have certifications from ISSA. I've got my CPT, my corrective exercise, my nutrition specialist, and I am certified in strength and conditioning for sports specific. In addition to all of the things I've educated myself outside of book learnings, I have been running one-on-one training and group classes, team training, things like that since 2014. And I have helped, I don't even know how many hundreds of people reach all sorts of different goals.
And we have, of course, the lovely Miss Savannah.
And
if you could go through your credentials.
Yeah. I started out with a background in psychology and sociology in school. And then after school, well, and during school, there was a point in time in 2016 that I trained. I was ISSA certified, but then fell off of that for a while, burnt myself out. And now I'm currently recertified with NASM in CPT, and I'm currently working on my corrective exercise and nutrition certs as well. I trained back in the day for a short while. I've coached soccer, softball, volleyball, all teenagers, and trained a one-on-one as well. So,
and
Sav, you're doing your corrective and your nutrition at the same time.
Yeah.
What a badass.
Getting it done.
Hey, I do my lifting and eating at the same time. Does that count?
You do your lifting and Instagram at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. So for people who want to know my credentials, I used to be real overweight, and then I lost weight, and I like to lift stuff. So,
atta babe.
big and strong. That's your credentials.
Big and strong.
Yeah.
So what we're covering today is just picture this for me. I'm going to paint a little picture. Holidays are over. Thanksgiving, Christmas. You got the Christmas present you wanted. Big family gathering of 40 people next to the lake. You had your Thanksgiving pants. You probably ate five of those pies. I've been to Thanksgiving with John before. It's
all the food.
It's New Year's Eve. You're feeling sluggish. You need to get your stuff back on track. January 1st comes around. You got some new goals. You got your New Year's resolution. You're going to the gym. You're going to lose weight, and you're going to do it. How? You have no clue. So what we want to do is kind of go through the process with you guys being professionals, and I'm the layperson, and kind of go through the process of how somebody changes their mental game, their physical, their nutrition, to achieve those goals, how they go about setting up goals, to stay on those goals, what happens if you fall off, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you're the quote unquote lay guy, but I mean, both of you have gone through a huge weight loss journeys, going from very different lives that you live now to very healthy, structured, self-motivated lives in the gym and outside of the gym. I mean, John, you want to kind of break down your story, just a little snippet of your weight loss journey?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up as like the skinniest kid, to the point where like my, you know, I'd go to family functions and my aunts and uncles would be reaming my dad and saying, why aren't you feeding him? And he would be going like, you have no idea how much this kid eats. And then, you know, just that turned into teenage and 20s where I kept on eating that much. And then I started to gain a little bit of weight. I started to do what people in their 20s do and drinking my face off and eating a lot of fast food. And it caught up with me quicker than maybe most, because I do not have great genetics. And then I found myself at all of 5'8" and about 215 pounds on Budweiser and KFC. And I needed to make a change, and I did. And it was a long, hard educational journey. And I got myself down to about 155, which was a lighter but weaker body. And then I got into resistance training and kind of fell in love with the education process of learning this whole thing. And now, you know, 15 years on, I kind of hover somewhere between about 170 and 180, depending on, you know, what time of year it is, honestly. You know, it's an ongoing struggle, just like it is with anybody, but I had to make a really big change in order to get to this place.
Yeah. I mean, you've looked completely different from when you first started out. I mean, I didn't know you back then, but just seeing pictures and things like that is really cool to see your journey. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, my body fat percentage was like 40.
Yeah.
At the time, it was about as unhealthy as a person of my height can get. Maybe that's not true, but it was really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, oh, go ahead.
So where we're gonna start is, we're just gonna throw this out on the table. None of us here are big proponents of a New Year's resolution. I don't like a New Year's resolution because I'm of the firm mindset of, if you want to make a change and you want to do something, do it yesterday. I don't care if it's a Wednesday. I don't care if it's a Sunday. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock on a Monday. If you need to change, you start that change now. We all fall into that. I'm going to start a new program Monday. I'm going to start a new thing next month, next year, whatever. It's not bashing people with New Year's resolutions, because everybody needs a starting point, and a lot of people, it feels, I guess that kind of feels like a comfortable place, right? To start, like, new year, new me. Is this as trainers, is this a very common thing you guys run into?
Unbelievably common.
Yeah. I mean, even so, just the flow of the gym itself, like come January, it's like the first 2 weeks of January, it's flooded.
So, you know, Best Buy calls Black Friday, because that's when they go from operating in the red to operating in the black. For gyms, it's January 1st.
Yeah.
January 1st for the next 4 weeks is going to be the most business you're going to do in a whole year in a gym. Which is, you know, good for the gym, but it doesn't bode well for the public psyche towards fitness, right? Because totally. A lot of times you see the same people over and over again every January.
Yeah, and then come March, February, March, they're gone, and then, you know, see you next year.
It clears back out. And to your point, Sean, a lot of it has to do with the New Year's resolution. And mostly I agree with what you said. I do not believe in the New Year's resolution as far as terminology goes. I think I'm a big believer in branding and marketing in things other than business, right? The words that we use are the things that sort of decide how we think about things, right? So when we say New Year's resolution, that already has the implication that maybe you'll quit smoking, maybe you'll lose the 20 pounds, maybe you'll stay off of social media like you want to. But when you hear about someone's resolution, the pessimist in all of us goes, uh-huh. We just assume that the person isn't going to do it because we didn't do ours because it was a resolution.
Right.
If you just simply use the new year as a point in time that is a nice little psychological round number to reflect and to goal set, right? And you just call it a goal, it doesn't put any more pressure or less pressure than a goal that you set on July 15th.
Right. It's a start. Right? The thing about the New Year's resolution, the term itself, is it's beginning of the year. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. So that's a starting point. There's no end point in that. It's the person walks into the gym. Yeah. New Year's resolution. That word itself is just a starting point. There's no end to that definition. So go walking in there like, yes, success. It's, as soon as they walk into that gym, goal over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they did it.
Yeah.
Where to go from there?
And when you set a goal, right, or I mean, what you should do when you set a goal is work backwards, right?
Absolutely.
Have macro goals, have micro goals, and then have steps to reach each micro goal that will get you to your macro goal. Totally. When you set a resolution, it's cut and dry without a plan, right? I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Well, what's the rest of that's a resolution is just a statement that you say out into the world. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because anytime I talk to people just on a personal level who are trying to make changes, who are trying to do something different. They always, and I have these big goals. I text you all the time, like, hey, I got this big goal when I'm 40, right? That's 2.5 years down the road. But I think for me, what I found the most success is you have your short, your midterm and your long-term goals. So like I have my big long-term goal and then I'll make little, like, okay, this week, my goal is this. So it's like just little things along the way. And it gives you those, like those little victories and little things to shoot for and try to hit to keep you on track.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what go ahead, Seth.
Oh yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, absolutely. And another point that I kind of want to make before we get into the actual discussion of behavior change and, you know, getting to that self-realization and self-actualization. I do want to make a point here, kind of towing off on the side, is it's a fad, just like the word diet.
Mm-hmm.
They're fads. It's a short-term thing. It's not something that teaches you how to be consistent. It's like this, it's that immediate gratification thing, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this little short period of time. But does that really teach you how to live, how to eat, how to exercise? Like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's a subliminal tag that gets added on to the words resolution and the words diet that doesn't get spoken, but we all think it, right? Resolution means I'm going to give it a shot, but I'm probably going to fail. I mean, how many people do you know that actually followed through with a New Year's resolution? They said, oh, you know, Bill, how'd you lose that 100 pounds? Well, it was my New Year's resolution. That just doesn't happen. Yeah. And you go, oh, how'd you get down to 10% body fat? Oh, from this diet. Okay. Well, good luck keeping it off, because diet has a subliminal ending, an end point, which is either the 8 weeks is up or it's unsustainable or whatever. Right. So when you say diet, It essentially means unsustainable and has an ending.
Correct.
Well, just to real quick to be clear before we go in, most of the time the term diet is what you guys are talking about. When I was losing weight and I knew nothing, I did a 10-day juice cleanse and I just drank homemade juices. That's like a diet. What's that?
Yep, I did that too. I did the juice thing for like 2 months.
I lost a lot of weight and then I put it right back on. But
exactly.
That word in that context, diet, what you hear a lot of times, and we'll probably use a lot on this show when we use the term, generally when we use the term diet, it just refers to, it's not a, like you guys are saying, one of these quick fix ideas. It's just your eating habit is your diet. It doesn't mean we're just going to like lose a bunch of weight. Diet just refers to the general sense of how you eat, what you eat, the goal of what you're putting into your body is just general diet. It's not the term that people associate with diet.
Well, that's the problem with American English, is that we have so many words that have too many definitions.
Yeah.
And that's what the word diet is supposed to mean, is what do you eat?
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, a tiger has a carnivore diet versus a herbivore animal who I can't think of who eats, has a plant diet, right? But when humans use it, they're talking the long neck. we're talking about like the Atkins diet and the Mediterranean diet. When we say diet, there's a book about it rather than an individual's eating habits, like you said.
Correct.
So diving into the actual process of behavior change, I mean, there's a contemplation process that comes with that of like, okay, I want to do this and I'm thinking about doing it, but okay, where do I go from there? John, I have a specific way that I kind of go about this in my own head and with my clients, but how do you, once the person actually gets into the gym and is in like kind of the preparation phase with you and asking questions and that sort of thing, how do you go about walking them through the contemplation process?
Okay. So if we're making the assumption that this is because of the beginning of the year, right? So the first thing I'm going to do is, like we just talked about, I'm going to change the terminology from resolution to goal. Mm-hmm. Because it has a powerful psychological change that occurs when you do that. Goal implies that it's a first goal, right? So that's something that needs to be established.
Correct.
And then, like I said before, we're going to establish a macro goal, which is the big long-term, which is what you said, Sean, goal, the one that's going to take 6 months or a year. And then we're going to establish micro goals that are going to get us, when they add up, to that macro goal. So just as a nice round number, let's say the person wants to lose 50 pounds. So then the micro goals would be each 10 pounds, right?
Right.
Because where we stand today and 10 pounds from now, that doesn't seem like insurmountable odds, right? We can do 10 pounds. Okay. Then out of that 10 pounds, what is the process that we're going to do to get there? What are the changes that need to be made? So first you've got to identify, what are the things that you're eating that right now you can change, easily change, right? You can add more protein to your breakfast, or you can stop drinking a choco, whatever, right? whatever it is for the person, it's all about identification of the things that are going to get you there, and identification is of the things that you need to stop doing. And then it's having very realistic expectations.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the last 7-8 years in January, and all year, but especially in January, who, because that's the most fired up and motivated that a person's ever going to be, even though they don't really have a clear view of how to get to where they want to get to. It's the most motivation that they've got to get to the destination. So they come in and they tell me, I'm going to work out 7 days a week. And then I have to go, no, you're not.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing that somebody can do is, I'm going to start everything on Monday. I am going to change immediately. And it's like, no, that process could look like 1 or 2 months. And with some people, 2 or 3 months, you know? It's changing those little steps will get you there. You can't take gigantor steps and then going up the ladder. You can't even reach the next step because you set an expectation so high for yourself that it just doesn't even make any sense when the past 10 years you've been acting and eating and exercising a certain way or lack thereof.
Well, exactly. I know we're going to get to it, I'm sure, at some point, but it's almost setting yourself up for failure.
Totally.
Because you're setting the bar so damn high and you're not going to see that result right away. That if you go, I'm working out 7 days a week, and you miss one day, you're instantly, I feel like crap, I'm a failure, and now your morale's in the tank.
Yeah, we're going to get talking about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are on the far end of the country. You're on the West Coast, right? If you were to say, okay, starting Monday, we're going to drive to New York City, and I said, all right, how are you going to do it? And you said, we're just going to do it. We're just going to get in the car and we're going to drive nonstop. We don't need to sleep. We're just going to do it. And I said, what route are you going to take? And you said, I don't know. We're just going to turn right and keep going until we hit water. You sound like an idiot, right? Like you need to plan it out a little bit more. How much is gas going to cost? Where are you going to sleep? You might want to take some breaks. Are you going to stop to see anything on the way? And a big fitness goal is no different. You've got to segment it down into smaller, more obtainable, more realistic. That's a huge word. It's got to be realistic because if you set yourself up for failure, there's a huge psychological part of it that you run into that very first hurdle and then you go, I didn't get it. Resolution done.
Yeah. And that looks different for everybody, right? I mean, it could literally be, hey, you haven't eaten a vegetable in 6 months. Let's try a vegetable on Monday. Just one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or it could be, okay, you're pretty far along and you're gonna have something more specific, like, you know, a weight goal for deadlifts or whatever it may be. But looking into that sort of mindset of those short-term goals, sometimes it takes practice. Even if you do set up those short-term goals, it's going to take practice. You're going to fail. You're you know, gonna skip a day at the gym. There are plenty of people that I've come across that are so hard on themselves, and there are some anxieties that people don't prepare themselves for when it comes to really committing to these goals, but people aren't perfect. It's not a perfect process. It's not this straight uphill line. We've talked about this before. It's like a roller coaster. And life happens. There's plenty of ebbs and flows that go along with that. Are there any clients that have had some, or just yourself in general, or people, friends, family, who've gone through this that have had anxieties and the types of anxieties that they have along the way?
Certainly. I mean, I think everyone may not talk about it, but I feel like I'm pretty intuitive, and I feel like I'm pretty attentive, and I can kind of notice what's going on with people, and I've got the benefit of having gone through, I mean, there's not a lot in the fitness landscape concerning just normal average Joes. I mean, I've never like competed in, you know, a powerlifting meet or like the Olympics or played a professional sport. But when it comes to just regular people with regular goals, there's not much I haven't personally experienced or seen other people go through. One thing that, to your point, that I have experienced a lot, and it's one of the best pieces of advice that I can share with my clients or anybody, is self-forgiveness. So let me set up a scenario. I bet you guys have lived through this. I bet the listeners have too. You set a goal that you're either going to do something positive, right? You're going to hit 5 workouts a week, whatever it is, or you're going to not eat sugar Monday through Friday, whatever it is, right? And then let's use alcohol. You're not going to drink alcohol Monday through Friday this week. Right. That's a tough one for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But then your old friend from school is in town for the holidays, and he says, "Hey, come out and get a drink with me." And you can't pass up on a drink with your old friend. They're only in town for the week. So you go out and you have 295 drinks with them, right? And you completely blow your goal out of the water. Then the next couple of days you go, I already screwed up my goal. What's the difference? And you go back to drinking Monday through Friday or eating Cheez-Its or whatever it is, right? Have you guys been in this position?
Oh, yeah.
I've been in that position probably dozens of times. And I guarantee you it's still going to happen probably in 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, the art go ahead, John.
My solution, solution's too strong of a word, but one thing that you can do for this is, so you wake up the next day, you just blew your thing that I'm not going to eat sugar. And then I had, somebody brought me some Christmas treats and I ate every single one of them. And then I sit around going, oh man, I'm such a loser. I did the thing I told myself I wasn't going to do. I may as well just say F it and do whatever I want to do. If you change your mindset to one of self-forgiveness, mm-hmm. and you just simply admit you're a human being, you're capable of falling down. It's not that big of a deal. It was one day, one meal, one, box of cookies, whatever it is. And then you just forgive and forget and move on. It is much, much easier.
Absolutely.
To just go, okay, back to the grind and just forget about it. If you can forgive yourself rather than having negative thoughts and negative self-talk and grinding yourself for the thing, you're going to be more apt to just start back where you were before.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing is people don't realize it. These changes don't happen in one day. One day does not make your body, your body goals, whatever it is, it does not make that happen. So you fall off for one day. It sucks. You feel like crap, but in the grand scheme of your macro goal of losing that 50 pounds, it's not going to destroy you. Now, don't give yourself that excuse and say, oh, it's just one day. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Process it and go, I can't do that. I can't let myself do that. I can't screw up. I got to get back on track. Like you said, get the self-forgiveness and don't normalize it, but realize that it's not the end of the world.
Well, the thing is, I'm gonna add on to the self-forgiveness as well with some structure. And we've been talking a little bit about, setting a goal and working backwards. Within setting those goals and things, there's a flow throughout the year. We know that these things are going to happen every single year. Thanksgiving happens every year. Christmas happens every year. So throughout the years, like personally, something that I've, a structure that I've created within that flow of the year for myself is setting expectations either around holidays or events or whatever, social events, whatever it may be that you feel is a block in the road to get to your goal, is setting a timeline expectation for those events. For example,
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Thanksgiving. I'm going to give myself the day before Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving. I'm going to let my mental wall down from achieving those goals for 3 days. Just going to not even think about my goals for those 3 days and just enjoy myself and not have to worry about it or have anxieties about it. As soon as those 3 days are over, wall goes back up. I'm focused. I'm narrowed in. And as you practice that, your brain will get better at switching it on and switching it off.
And I totally agree with what you're saying. And what works for me personally, and maybe some other people can take from this as well, I tend to recommend this to my clients, is I'm a very visual person and I'm also a very tactile person. I like pen and paper. I tend to use pen and paper more than electronics as much as possible. And what I'll do when I'm really on my grind, and it doesn't just go for the holidays. It's there's always birthdays. There's always the Super Bowl. There's always holidays. It's year round. It's every single month.
Yeah, so at the beginning
So at the beginning of each month, I will get out the calendar and I will circle the 1 to 3 dates that it's somebody's birthday. It's a holiday. It's WrestleMania, whatever. And I'll go, these are the days that I'm going to bring that wall down and I'm going to either have a cheat meal or flat out do whatever I want. And it does two things. One, it minimizes the amount of days in the month, right? Because it's structured. And two, which is maybe more important, when you're in those really tough days, you're at, you know, if let's say you're at somebody whose goal requires a calorie deficit, sometimes that can be really, really challenging. And your brain will tell you, oh, I'm not allowed to have, you know, In-N-Out. Well, instead of saying I'm not allowed, you just go, okay, I've got 5 days. I've got 5 days until I get some In-N-Out, which is much easier to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And during the holidays, you just get to circle more days, right? Like, one of the coolest things that I've heard somebody say was, it's not what you eat between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's what you eat between Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, totally.
Which is a great way to just psychologically go, you know what, just enjoy yourself. It's good for you.
So yeah, real quick, I want to make a point, and then I have a question for you guys. So you brought up pen to paper, and I like to write down my stuff, like you said, in books. Right now with my coaching, I'm doing it on an app, and it's extremely distracting. I love having a notebook to write everything down, and it really, as like a tip for people, it really gets you into a mental space of, I have to sit down, I'm going to plan out my workout, I'm going to plan out my meals. For me, it's like I'm calculating my lifts, this is what I have to hit. And it's almost like a meditation of that mind muscle. We talk like the mind muscle connection of really getting yourself prepped and ready for the upcoming battle in the gym, or, you know, whatever meal stuff you have going on. But doing the physical paperwork as opposed to like staring at a screen is huge.
Totally.
Mentally.
Yeah, I totally agree. It feels more, I don't know what the right word is, like dedicated, right? It feels more real in your head when you have physical pen and paper, when you do these things.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I think about is, just for example, like going up to bat in baseball or softball, it's the same thing in athletics as creating muscle memory. So you're preparing your brain to do a structured activity, right? So the brain is a muscle. So it's a part of that practice and that discipline, getting into that mindset for the gym itself. So if you're every single day is your practice, it's your walking up to bat, it's putting, you know, your foot in the same spot every time, it's swinging the bat before, you know, the pitch comes up every single time. It is that muscle memory and that muscle practice to get your brain prepared for a workout, essentially.
Yeah, habits.
Yeah.
So my question for you guys is, and this is a this is kind of, I don't want to say a myth, but a thing that's floated out there. And I'm a personal believer in it for me when I'm on top of my stuff. What is your guys' feeling on, it kind of goes into what we're talking about, but like scheduling cheat days, giving yourself a day, even if it's not a holiday, because there might be that long stretch. I used to give, like, when I was super structured, is every 2 weeks on like a Friday, I would give myself that day or meal to not pay attention to what I'm doing, to not focus on goals. And it would give me, a reward to work towards and stay focused on. What are your guys' thoughts on doing that just for your average person who's, maybe they're not trying to compete in bodybuilding or powerlifting or something like that, but just your regular person, and how do you go about, like advising them and, you know, scheduling it?
You can go ahead, John.
So like I said, for me, I pretty much believe that you don't have to schedule it. It's just going to happen. Those occasions, most of the year, like the vast majority of the year, are built in. You've got so many birthday parties to go to. You've got so many, you're going to go see a movie and you're going to eat candy, or you've got, so many sporting events or whatever it is, dinners with the family, those things are already inherent in your life. it's just taking the time to stop and go, okay, where are they this month, right? Which are the two or three that I'm going to go to, and those are going to be my cheat meals. If you happen to have a 3-4 week stretch where none of that stuff is coming up, it's diminishing returns to try to stay 100% diligent for, you know, 4-6 weeks. You got to blow off some steam, for lack of a better term. So in those instances, I agree with you. It's a good idea to schedule I wouldn't recommend a cheat day to weight loss clients, but I would recommend a cheat meal. For weight gain clients, yeah, go ahead and do a whole entire cheat day. It's really not going to affect you that much. Or strength gain clients, yeah, go ahead and do a whole cheat day, as long as it's not too frequently. But like I said, what it does is allows the 80%, when you're being diligent, the 80% becomes less challenging, because you will change the terminology in your head. You'll change the psychology in your head of, rather than not allowing your things, you're simply delaying gratification. And delaying gratification is something that we all need, even for things that aren't food. I don't care what it is that you want. Practice delaying gratification. It'll make your life better.
And I think it depends on the person. I mean, I've come across different people of, like, some people absolutely need it. They almost need it as a reward to the end of the week. Okay, if you hit all of your workouts this week, you can have a cheat meal on Saturday or Sunday. And then I've come across people who are absolutely terrified to break the cycle, because they know mentally that they'll just completely fall off. And then kind of,
yeah, it has a lot to do with a person's personal relationship with food as
correct.
Well.
Correct. Yeah. I'm coming at it from a psychological standpoint. but yeah, I mean, some people, for like me personally, I've been doing this for a long time, so I can flip it on and off. And I absolutely, personally, I do like those days just for, not necessarily for gratification, but almost just for wellness, to let my brain relax. Just not even having to think about structure, more so just being able to, instead of thinking as food as fuel, which I do most of the time, I can just enjoy food, because I am a foodie outside of the gym. Like, I like just having some good old food. But yeah, no, I definitely think it just depends on the person. But also going into kind of like the relationship with food, I mean, I always think about clients and stuff, like, but the biggest client base are the ones who are terrified to even walk into the gym. Kind of getting into someone who's contemplating starting the gym, and being afraid of being judged or ridiculed or whatever it may be, mentally, physically, getting into self-love, self-respect, and accepting oneself and where you are at right now, I think is a huge stepping stone to actually getting into the gym. John, what are your thoughts on that?
I would say that nearly 100% of clients that I have taken on have had some sort of insecurity about stepping foot into a gym. Unless they were, you know, already had been through some sort of journey or had worked with a trainer or whatever, but that's pretty rare for me. One thing that is really needs to be talked about is that there's a big, big difference between how males and females feel about the gym. It's nearly a prey versus predator sort of thing, unfortunately. And I just tell people, like, look, I get that you have these insecurities, because everyone's got them. So A, don't feel like it's just you, because it's everyone. Mm-hmm. But B, I assure you, nobody is watching you. They feel the same way you feel, and they're thinking to themselves, I hope nobody's watching me. So they're definitely not busy watching you. I've never heard someone judging or laughing at another person. I mean, the equivalent would be like pointing and laughing at somebody in the doctor's office. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't really make any sense, yeah. Right? Like, haha, you're, you know, making yourself better. It doesn't, it's really, it's an insecurity that we all have that is manufactured. It's completely fictional. The people who you look at who are, you perceive personally, you perceive as being ahead of you, right? They're stronger than you or more fit than you or whatever you're projecting onto them. You tend to lose sight. People tend to lose sight that they also had a starting point, right?
Totally.
That if they're ahead of you on the track, it's simply because they got a head start. They got to the track before you did. It doesn't mean that they didn't go through the exact same trials and tribulations. They didn't eat the Oreos at midnight. They didn't, you know, struggle to do overhead press, whatever it is. They just started before you. And anyone who has done it isn't looking at the people behind them on the track and laughing at them. If they are, they're a complete a-hole. But I haven't seen it happen all that frequently. So this is one of these strange kind of pitfalls where it's this very, very common insecurity, but we're all manufacturing it in some way, shape, or form. It's fictional, but we're all doing it. It's very strange.
Well, it's like Sav said, it's people have this idea. And that's where that, like she says, self-love, and these things aren't mutually exclusive. You can say, I'm accepting how I look right now. And you can also say, I'm not happy with the way I look right now.
Absolutely.
Meaning,
sure,
this is how I look. If I don't change anything, it's not going to change. So this is how I look now. It is what it is. Here's where we are. How do we move on past that? And then you can also, and then you realize the first step of doing that is taking a step into the gym or onto that track or whatever you're doing, and take that step. You can not be happy with yourself and accept it at the same time. And I think that's a huge thing that people don't realize. Like, they get stuck in this, I look like crap, I'm going to go to the gym and people are going to look at me. Sidebar, if you go to the gym and there's people laughing at you, you're probably in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Go find a better fitness center.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like I said, I've never seen it happen. Maybe I've just been fortunate, but absolutely. If you feel like you're being judged or ridiculed or people are snickering or whatever, just go somewhere else, because it's not happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, and to your point, Sean, I love what you just said. That's something that hadn't occurred to me. And I fully subscribe to that. The other thing is, 100% of the people listening to this right now, I don't care where you're at, if you have any, if you're on day zero, or if you're a 10-year vet and you're on the cover of magazines, and anyone in between, look at yourself right now, just look down at yourself, and I promise you, there is someone who would kill to be where you're at. There is someone who would do anything to be where you are right now. Someone is looking at you for inspiration because you are better off than they are. So it's everyone. You're an inspiration to someone no matter where you're at.
Well, and that's that idea of see, I kind of see it different with people don't look at you in the gym. And I just take this from personal experience. I told a friend this recently, was there might be some people looking at you in the gym. I look at some people and I watch what they do because it's a movement I haven't seen. Or I told the story of, I was working out at a 24-hour fitness, working out with a good buddy. And I look over and I see this guy, he's not wearing a shirt. And I out loud said, look at that dude's back. Like, it's impressive. And I just watched him work to see, obviously this guy knew something I didn't know. And he's put in years of work to be built the way he was. So sometimes, and I'll see people at the gym, because I go in at like the same time and I take, and you know, like in between sets, whatever, and I'll take notes, and I see people and I go, this person's in the gym busting their ass every single day at 5:30 in the morning. And if that person can do it, my ass better be here at the gym putting in the same effort. So you might get some of those people, but some of those people might be looking at you as, like you said, as motivation, as seeing how you do something, or they might be seeing how much work you put in and thinking to themselves, man, that person is really putting it out there. They're, they're, you know, putting in all this effort, whatever it is, good for them.
Well, the thing is, I think about it's kind of easier said than done, right? Someone with this sort of anxiety going into the gym is crippling sometimes. I mean, I know people who have, from back in the day when I did it, and now is, I've had people who have walked in and said, gosh, for a week I've been sitting in my car and I would leave every time, and this is the first time I've actually had the courage to walk in. When we talk about small steps to achieve your goals, I'm going to put it in perspective as how small steps can be. And that's it right there. I mean, I had a client who's did that, and her goal for the week was literally to walk into the gym, walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes, and walk out. And it was a huge goal, because you have that tight feeling in your chest. You do have that feeling of, sometimes it may not even be a body image thing. Sometimes it could be a performance thing of like, I don't want to look stupid doing this, or I don't want to do this wrong. John, I don't know if you've had people who have experienced this as well, but it can be very crippling.
Yeah, I have one client who comes to mind that kind of started in a really similar position. You guys know them, and they had tremendous results about a year in. We're just in outstanding shape. But on day one, when we met, most of the conversation was centered around anxiety of being in the gym. And somewhere early on, I said, you know, there's going to come a day where you're in the gym, and there's a bunch of dudes who are hanging out in like the weight area, and your mindset will change from, I hope they're not looking at me, I hope they're not judging me, I hope I'm not doing something wrong. And your mindset will be, when are these guys going to get out of the way? I've got work to do. and about a year later, I said, do you remember me telling you that? And she goes, yeah. And that's what, like, they're in my way. I need the bar. Like, yeah. And they're doing too many sets or whatever. And I was like, yeah, there you go. Like, that's maximum confidence of like, I've got stuff to do. Let's hurry it up.
Yeah. And we also talk about, you know, documenting your journey and creating those goals as well. But like, those are the performance landmarks that I think about as far as documenting your journey. And, you know, you were talking about people, you know, looking at other people, but look at yourself, like look at your past self and go, holy shit, I did that. Like, I went from not being able to walk into the gym to deadlifting, you know, X, Y, and Z weight, or whatever it may be. Documenting your journey, whether it be performance. I mean, one of my clients is deadlifting 160 pounds now, and her start at the day that she started, she could barely hold herself up in a plank for 10 seconds. That, pictures, measurements, John, how important are these things?
Oh, they're paramount. They're absolutely paramount. And it's different metrics for different people and different goals, right? So a weight loss client is going to have different measurements, different metrics than a weight gain client, than a strength gain client, than a cardio goal client, than a sport specific client. So it's different for different people, but the most common methods are some sort of body fat measurement, whether that be calipers or electrostatic, if you can find it. Hydrostatic is pretty rare, or pictures, right? So mm-hmm. Taking regular pictures, whether that be, you know, weekly or monthly, something along those lines, because we lose track of ourselves, right? We see ourselves so frequently that it's really hard to see. And on top of that, I don't know one person alive who has a realistic view of themselves.
Well, not we all have one. Some sort of body dysmorphia, right? So you're not going to be able to see.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone has some degree of body dysmorphia, whether they think they're jacked and they're not, or they think that they're fat and they're not, right, or whatever, right? No one looks at themselves realistically. So you have to have pictures so you can look at yourself realistically. And when it gets into the, to steal a term from baseball, the dog days of summer, when you're just in the middle of a long, long grind and you're tired and your motivation has waned and you're relying completely on discipline, you can look back 3 months ago and go, whoa, I have come a long way. Okay. Like, and then your motivation will come back because of that. Mm-hmm. And also I want to make sure to point out, I don't know how long we've been talking, and not one time have we mentioned the scale.
I know. And so many people are so paranoid over the scale. And when it comes to fat versus muscle, I mean, it's a whirlwind when people go, oh my God, I'm the same weight as I was, you know, 10 months ago or whatever. Okay. But then another unit of measurement is, okay, well, how do your clothes fit now? Well, I'm swimming mm-hmm. in them. Okay. Well, that's a huge achievement. Yeah. Well, like, oh,
you guys just read my mind, because I was going to say the importance of those pictures, because when you go from being like a sedentary person and you don't move to now you're working out and you're exercising, even if you're lifting little weights, it's not uncommon, or I think it's probably more common than not, that you might see an uptick in your weight on that scale while you're going through that process, because you're building muscle and you might see the weight go up, but the pictures will tell the actual story. So where do you, if you guys get clients that go, I'm weighing myself every day, what do you tell them? Because personally, I think it's detrimental to someone's psyche to weigh themselves every single day. Because you have those fluctuations of, I fluctuate even when I'm on top of my stuff, I can fluctuate daily, and water intake. There's so many variables. How do you guys go about tackling that with your clients?
The rule for me is to tell someone not to weigh themselves every day. I mean, just the rule is, like, that is unhealthy behavior. And the, like you said earlier, one day is nearly irrelevant. It's when you turn around and look back at a month, 6 months, a year, that things have changed and the work has added up. The calorie deficit has taken place, the chemical reactions. I'll spare you the very scientific details, but one day doesn't mean diddly. So weighing yourself is just giving you, you're asking for some sort of psychological baggage that is fictional. So, but occasionally I will meet someone, myself included, where because of the knowledge that I have, because of my outlook, and sometimes I'll meet somebody with the right psychology, I don't mind them weighing themselves every day, because I feel like they're not going to give themselves the baggage. And it is just sort of a metric of uptick or downtick. It's not really necessary, but sometimes it's not that big of a negative for people. But as a rule, I would tell people, don't weigh yourself any more frequently than once a week.
Yeah. Well, and I think it depends on the person. Like, weight loss client, she terrified of the scale. Absolutely terrified, throws her a curveball every single time. I have to talk her down every time she gets on the scale. She was a weight loss client. As soon as she hit her weight loss goal, I threw that scale out the door. As soon as she became a muscle, we went into like hypertrophy and gaining muscle, because mm-hmm. her weight's gonna go back up because she's gaining sure. muscle. And then sure. that's going to ruin her diet, or sorry, I say the word diet, that's going to ruin her new eating habits and hitting her protein goals, because she's going to see herself gaining weight, but I need yeah. her to eat in order to gain muscle. So that's when we immediately switched over into pictures.
It's a serious societal issue that we tie our self-worth to the number on the scale. And when you state it like that, everyone understands that that's silly, right? If I just said to you, is that silly? Everyone will go, yeah, of course. Like, the scale isn't my self-worth, but that's how people view it. That's the case. So what I usually tend to tell my clients to get through to them, and some people it works, is I'll say, if we lose 10 pounds of fat and we gain 10 pounds of muscle, are you going to be happy? And they go, well, yeah, of course, I'd be thrilled. And I say, and how much would you weigh? And they say, exactly the same as I do right now. And I go, right. So the scale is irrelevant. Yeah. The scale doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So just as like in a real world scenario with people, when we went through the beginning of the lockdowns and we're stuck at home, I worked out constantly and I had goals set. And at work, we changed uniforms. And 8 months later, 10 months later, we go in and we got to switch back to those old uniforms. And people are freaking out because now they got to order new ones. And I'm sitting there to myself going, oh, crap. Do I got to order new uniforms? I don't want to spend $300 for new uniforms. I weigh 20 pounds more than I did when this whole thing started. I put on the uniform and the uniform fit looser than it did when I wore it the last time. And
yeah, your clothes are just a better metric.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's just that psychological, and I still have the issue. Savile will tell anybody that wants to hear it. I'll step on the scale and go, oh crap, I'm 275 was the last time. And I just get in this
space. And every time I go, stop it. Don't do it. Stop it. Get out of there.
And it's hard for people. Like you still, even though you know the process, sometimes it can screw with you seeing that number.
Well, and that's, you were a major weight loss case at one point, and that psychologically, the brain remembers how you felt back when you were 300 plus pounds. Like it's that immediate anxiety of, oh my God, I don't want to go back to that place. Like it's fear. So
it's a societal issue. We it's hammered into our heads from birth that your weight is a top concern. So-and-so just had a baby. How much did it weigh? Magazine covers when you're standing in line at the grocery store, X celebrity just lost X amount of pounds, right? Like it's, you can't escape it. The commercials on TV, buy this, you know, useless future yard sale item because it's going to help you lose weight. That's the way that people refer to it, is lose weight. No one talks about, you know, the greater media doesn't talk about get healthier, get stronger, change habits. Like these aren't terms that you hear. You hear lose weight. You have to weigh less because your self-worth will go up. You're a better human being if you weigh less pounds, right? Like, I don't know, weigh yourself in kilograms or in Canada or something. So it's lower. I don't know. Like it's silly.
Yeah. And you know, talking about this whole societal marketing scheme, you know, people will get into a beginner's flow of just getting into the gym regularly. You know, the consistency is starting to pick up, and we talk with some people, again, it depends on the person. Some people really need that emotional support and the support from their people to achieve their goals because they need to hear that they're doing a good job, which is totally fine because everyone's different. But along with that, with this big grand marketing scheme of society constantly throwing it in your face honestly, even some people in your lives, like there's, I want to talk about loneliness versus aloneness in this process, because some people can be very cruel because someone is trying to better themselves. I mean, have you witnessed this personally at all?
Oh, absolutely. Sean and I have talked about this privately at great length over the years. So what will tend to happen when a person, all the things that we've talked about thus far, let's say you changed from a resolution to a goal, you set micro goals, you wrote it down on paper, how you're going to accomplish it. You've got your cheats planned out. And in the meantime, in the other 80% of the time, you are going to be fully and totally dedicated, right? Because you know, you've got your cheat day coming up in 6 days. So today you're not going to cheat. So you go to a public function, family's house, whatever it is, and there is alcohol flowing and there is fatty, sugary stuff hitting the table, and you were dedicated enough to bring your lean meat, vegetables, and carbs with you because you're so dedicated, because if you've got goals and damn it, you're going to hit them. What inevitably is going to happen, and you have to be prepared for it, is that Aunt Gertrude is going to tell you that you're doing too much. You work out too much. live a little. It's not going to kill you to have a little bit of the cake that's here. These are things that, again, a societal issue. These people who are saying this sort of stuff to you don't like the position that they're in. And 100%. They don't see a way out of it, or they don't have the determination or the energy or whatever it is to pull themselves out of it. They don't have the external force to motivate them. It's not your problem. So when they're telling you you're doing too much, you work out too much, you know, you're sacrificing too much. They don't know. They don't know your life. They don't know what you're working on, and they don't know what it takes. But it's a very, very common thing to have those external forces tell you that when you're doing good things, they're going to tell you you're doing bad things.
So in my personal life journey, when I was going from 305, 310, and finally figuring out to lose weight, I was that person. I was bringing meals everywhere. I had two lunch bags that I brought to work. One of them was like my protein and my stuff for my workouts, to take to the gym every day, and all my meals. And I would go to sushi with friends, even though I couldn't eat it. And I'd sit there and watch them, and I would do all these things. And I never got more negative comments and hate from and ridicule from people that were my friends and people I associated with, then, like you said, was the, oh, you spend too much time in the gym. Oh, you're not living life because you're not eating this donut, or you're no fun because you won't do this. What do you tell, for both of you, what do you tell clients or people who are going to experience those things, like tips of how to work through those?
Go ahead.
So I'm a really big, this keeps coming up in this conversation. I'm really big on language, right? Because it informs how we psychologically view things. And one thing that we've been talking about a ton is motivation, right? And around this time of year, around the New Year's time, everyone's as motivated as they're going to get. But we know for a fact that motivation is fleeting, right? Motivation works like the tide. It's in, it's out. It's back in, it's back out. You can't lean on it. You can't count on it, because that tide is going to go back out. What never should ebb and flow is dedication, right? Dedication can be evergreen. Dedication can be paramount. Mm-hmm. And dedication is 100% necessary if you're going to get to where you want to get to, whatever your goal is. If you use that mindset that it's always about dedication, which means doing things you don't necessarily want to do because they're going to get you to where you want to go, right? I don't want to go to work on Monday morning, but if I do, I get a paycheck, and the paycheck allows me to do the things I either want to do. So I'm going to go do it because I'm dedicated to it. And the same goes for your workouts. It's all about how you describe it in your head.
Absolutely. And absolutely, words have power. And the thing that I really tell people is your definition of living is changing, which is okay. But you have to set expectations with people who have known you a certain way for your entire life. And you have to explain what your new definition of living is to those people. This is what I want to look like. See that mountain right there? I'm going to climb that bitch, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. Do you want to do it with me? You know, it's like it's switching the card a little bit, where it's instead of them trying to drag you down to their level, you can, you know, maybe take that opportunity to bring them up to yours. And it's really setting those expectations with people.
And you can make an attempt at changing someone else's view of it also, right? Like I would tell people, like, if I was an alcoholic, would you be telling me to take the shot of Jack Daniels or else I'm not fun? No, you wouldn't say that to somebody, right? Because they're dedicated to bettering themselves.
Right. It's changing your own identity to what your expectation of living looks like.
Right. And it's very hard for people who aren't living that lifestyle to understand it. And it can be even as simple as I've gone through periods where I would do intermittent fasting, which is a whole nother conversation that we could get into in another podcast. But when I would do it, I would, you know, count my macros, count my calories, and I would eat my daily value of calories. I just wouldn't start eating until noon.
Right.
And when I would explain this to people, they would go, "Oh my God, I don't know how you can starve yourself. You shouldn't be doing that. That's unhealthy. Don't starve yourself."
What's the definition of break breakfast? It's break fast, yeah. No matter what the fast looks like.
it can be even that plain and simple. I'm not starving myself. I'm probably eating more than you are. And people would go, "Oh, no, you shouldn't do." They don't know. They just don't know. So you got to be able to just sort of nod and smile and then do what you were going to do anyway.
So I'm really big on quotes, motivational quotes. And me and you, John, we'd go back and forth sharing videos and Arnold videos all day long. And this topic we just were speaking of reminds me of, and I might get it wrong, I think it was Jerry Rice, I could be wrong, but who said, "Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can do what others can't."
Yeah, I think that is Jerry Rice. I think about that quote a lot. And if Sav said, if you want to get to the top of the mountain, it's going to take some sacrifice.
100%.
Absolutely. I mean, looking into those things and those social blockades per se can really put people into this feeling of loneliness, which is another sort of slap in the face that can put you off of your goal and just say, "Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna do it because I don't have the support that I need." And the difference between that's more looking at loneliness, where aloneness is where you don't change, but you have to accept that maybe this journey is going to be my own without those people. And that's okay. It's another form of self-acceptance, I think.
It's okay to work in silence.
Totally.
Yeah. And to kind of add on to what you're saying, one thing that I've discovered for myself, and, you know, maybe this works for some people and maybe it doesn't, but this is what worked for me, was I had a conversation with myself where I had to basically accept that selfishness is not inherently negative. Selfishness doesn't inherently exclude being generous or considerate, right? They can live together. Selfishness just means aggressively taking care of yourself. Right? Aggressively being in check of your mental health and your physical health, aggressively doing the things that you want to do, aggressively chasing, you know, the bank account that you want to have. You can do those things without excluding being generous and courteous and caring and checking in on your friends and all of those things. But some people shy away from being selfish and taking care of themselves. And it doesn't take much external force of saying, like, "Ah, you go to the gym too much," for them to go, "Yeah, you're right."
Yeah.
Which for me didn't work. I am a very, very selfish person. I aggressively take care of myself, but I also aggressively take care of my loved ones. They don't have to be exclusive.
Absolutely. It's a balance.
No one's going to take care of you is the mindset I have. If you don't do for yourself, others won't do it.
Well, and another one is, you can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself. That was a big one for me growing up with my mom and all of her injuries. She didn't take care of herself. And there were times where she didn't adequately emotionally take care of me. So it's that one resonates with me a lot, where you really, it's almost not even selfish. It's just self-love and self-respect. I wouldn't even use the word selfish, because in order to really live life, you have to take care of yourself mentally, physically. And even if you do see it as a selfish thing, it's a balancing act, and that's okay. There's certain levels of selfishness that can be very productive. So yeah, it's
as a new mom, Sav, I really, you're a new mom, not me. I really,
are you trying to tell us something, John?
I really appreciate hearing you say that. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had clients who had babies or were moms when I met them. And one of the biggest psychological hurdles that they faced was spending so much emotional time and so much energy taking care of other people. You know, being maternal is, you know, kind of necessary for the job.
Just a little.
That they forget to take care of themselves. And you're dead right. It is really, really important to take care of yourself so that you're available to take care of others.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just speaking, even fathers, just parents in general, you get to a point where you're going to spill over at the edges, no matter what, if you're not taking care of yourself. It's a huge hurdle sometimes to be able to sit back and go, yes, this is okay to do. Because we're, you know, as individuals, we're really hard on ourselves, but it's necessary. I really do think it is necessary. So
that's kind of a good segue into what I wanted to bring up and ask you guys is, I think what's really important is when you're in this journey, like you said, you've got your goals set, you're writing everything down, you're putting in the work, you got your eating habits changed, you've, you know, fought through Aunt Gertrude trying to beat you down for bringing Tupperware over for the birthday party, and you're putting in the work. I think people forget, and this is a big one, to celebrate your victories. And all those victories are different for everybody. We talked to a friend recently who said, I remember when I deadlifted, I think she said 135, and she goes, I mean, that's not really anything. And I said to her, I go, no, that's huge. Because like you alluded to earlier, that person in the gym who's deadlifting 600 pounds started and 135 was their first major victory. So the importance of not minimizing your successes and your milestones and your victories and owning them and being able to celebrate them goes a huge long way, physically and mentally, and to use that as motivation to keep pushing you towards that greater goal.
Absolutely.
What you're talking about is something that I wish I could bottle and give to people to help them understand what it is that you're saying. How do I put this? There is no comparing yourself to someone else. There is, I don't use this word unless I really mean it. There is literally no difference at all between Savannah, your client who managed to get in for 5 minutes, the person who managed to deadlift 135, somebody who can squat 550 pounds. There's no difference between me, you know, getting 1% off my body fat or The Rock hitting his goals. Your goals are your goals. And if you hit it, God damn it, it was hard to achieve. Celebrate it. It's pointless to compare what you can do and can't do to what somebody else can and can't do. It, you know, it's cliche, it's a t-shirt now, but it's you versus you. If you're 1% better than you were yesterday, throw yourself a freaking parade, because every single time you do that, it adds up. And then you look back and you go, here's where I was 6 months ago, and you throw yourself a huge party. There's no reason to compare yourself to what someone else can do, because if you couldn't do it yesterday and you can today, I don't care if it was going into the gym for 5 minutes. It is a big, big effing deal.
It is a huge deal. It is one of the most detrimental psychological measurements of behavior change and achieving goals, because recognizing small victories is a fork in the road. On the left side, there's complacency and boredom, which is a goal killer. And then on the other side is self-realization and self-actualization, which is actually going to propel you forward to maybe meet goals that you never even thought of throughout the process. And when I say self-realization, that is the fulfillment of one's own potential. And self-actualization is the realization or fulfillment of one's talents and potentialities, especially considered as a drive or need present in everyone. Mm-hmm. When I tell you the gym becomes a need, when you hit your new, what I'm going to be calling the new normal, when the new normal is that fork in the road, being able to recognize, hey, I've really come a long way and look back. If you don't recognize that you've hit a new normal, like just for example, I had a client who goes, I deadlifted 135. That's baby weight. Okay, but you couldn't hold yourself up in a plank day one. Recognize that talent and recognize that drive that got you here. Because if you hit boredom and complacency, you're gonna go nowhere. Cannot fall into that trap. Do you? How do you deal with your clients when they get into that boredom or complacency phase?
Well, it's a little different when you've hired a trainer, because it's my job to prevent that from happening, right? It's my job to document your achievements. It's my job to document your capabilities and your goals and your achievements. And it's my job to point them out to you so that that doesn't happen. Right. So with clients, it'll start to happen, but it doesn't fully happen because I'm present to stop it from happening.
Right.
From friends and family and people that I talk to, I would recommend doing just that. You've got to document everything and don't just document, but look back, right? Keep track of not just what you've done, but how it compares to the past, right? Is it not just that you deadlifted 135 pounds, but how many more pounds is that than your previous PR? Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Good job. Let's take a minute to celebrate. What's the next goal? Because you got to celebrate the wins, but you've also got to look towards the future so that you have something that you're striving for. And also understanding that there is no finish line.
Right.
There is no, okay, you did it. Pack it in, grab your lunch pail, go home. You hit your 135. Now we'll put you in the rest home and you can just rely on that forever. Right. So it's this balancing act.
Totally.
Take the time to celebrate, but don't get complacent about it either.
The thing that I think about is one of my clients goes, this never gets any easier. Why don't you make this? And why it doesn't get any easier? Well, I'm not going to have you do a shoulder press 15 pounds for a year. Like you're not struggling, you better be struggling. I'm going to push you.
No, we're always looking for struggle reps. You're always going to get to struggle reps. It's just how much do the struggle reps weigh. Yeah. The other thing too, that you can tell people who are young in the game, so to speak, is, you know, if you're on one side of the gym and you're looking to hit that 135 pound deadlift, just because that's what we're using as the example, right? Last time you hit 130, you're shooting for 135. Right. Mm. And you're like, okay, here we go. Not sure if you're going to get it or not. And then you get it. Right. Awesome. Well, one way you can think about that is, it was only 135. Another way to think about it is the guy on the other side of the gym who is struggling to get from 400 to 401 is going to be jealous that you were able to add 5 when he's struggling to get to his 1.
Right.
Right. 100%. Because he's further along and it is harder to get those small increments. Right. So he's going, damn, I wish I could add 5. Yeah. Right. Like he doesn't care that you're quote only at 135. He's going to be going, good for you. 5. That's huge. Mm.
And that guy is probably looking at you, like you said, and because I've been there, and that is motivation for that guy to work harder.
Yeah. I want to hit that PR. Like the weight is irrelevant. The 100%. PR is very significant.
That's the goal at the end of the day is to be better than you were the day before. And when somebody else realizes that and celebrates, you sit and look at that and go, fuck, I want to celebrate too. And that should push you to hit your goals and celebrate. So the way we like to wrap these up is if you just take a minute, and I tell everyone it's a loose minute. I don't count because you know I can't count. if you were to, you got someone who's looking to get in the gym, lose some holiday pounds, whatever their goal is, in a minute, just quick summary, what would you tell somebody to help get them to take those first steps, to set those goals, to really get at it?
Put me on the spot here. So I'm a really big believer in momentum and habit stacking. So when I say momentum, right, picture a big stone rock and you need to get that thing rolling. You are not just going to give it a shove and it's going to be going 100 miles an hour. It's going to take a little bit by little bit, and it picks up steam, and then it can also stop and slow down, and you've got to be willing to get it moving again. So if you look at the journey from beginning to end like that, that it's going to have slow times and fast times, and it's going to have starts and stops, and you accept that, then it's going to be a lot easier to be willing to tackle the task at hand. I lost my train of thought. What was the other thing I said besides momentum?
Something stacking.
Habit stacking. Habit stacking, meaning that you can't change your lifestyle all at once. It's not possible. You can't do it. But you can find one thing that you can start doing and one thing that you can stop doing. And you can work on those right now. Not January 1st, not Monday, not next month. Right now. You can stop doing one thing and start doing one thing. And once those become established as habit, do it again. Next thing you know, you look back and you have changed your whole lifestyle, but it was doable because you were only tackling one thing at a time. So if you take a realistic approach, I guess that's the overarching umbrella thing I'm trying to say. Just be realistic about the approach.
Simple. I like it.
We're all human.
All right, guys. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, saying we're all human allows you to have a realistic approach. It allows you to have self-forgiveness, and it allows you to rely on dedication instead of momentum.
100%. All right, guys, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, like, listen, share. If you can, give us a ranking, help us move the charts, get this information out. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Nine Realms Athletics. NineRealmsAthletics.com. Use promo code MANIFEST for a discount. And as always, we are looking for suggestions. So if you guys know anyone with a cool story, anyone with a motivating story that they're willing to share, they have knowledge on a topic like this that we can spread to other people to help change somebody else's life, go ahead and shoot us an email, a DM, talk to me in the gym, text message, whatever it is. We love it. So hit us up. John, thank you so much. I really think this is going to help some people. And honestly, I want to go work out right now. I'm kind of pissed I didn't go to the gym today.
Yeah, no, I was really glad to do this. You know, it's almost like the opposite of how kind of therapy works. Like talking through good stuff also is really beneficial because then it gets you amped up and ready to go and get you charged. So I hope this helps some people out. And if it did, you know, let us know. You can get at me at Fit Geek Training on Instagram. Let me know if this helped you out or if you have any questions.
And where can people check out your podcast?
The podcast. This Business, available wherever they got podcasts. The handles for that is at This Biz Show on Twitter and Instagram. If you're into wrestling, That's what I'm doing over there, is just talking about wrestling. And it's kind of weird. We have the same sponsor.
It's odd.
Yeah. If you're into wrestling, and from what I understand, you've got a wrestling background as well. So I imagine some of your guests have come from that world. So maybe some of your listeners are fans. So that's what I'm doing. This Business.
Awesome. Well, John, thank you. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Peace out.
Peace.
Peace.